In this time of safer at home guidance and restrictions on travel, we also find ourselves living in an unintended experiment. We're seeing reports of clearer skies in China, Italy, and India with reduced nitrogen dioxide levels in major cities and metropolitan areas. NASA cited data showing a 30% drop in nitrogen dioxide in a corridor from Washington, D.C. to Boston. That's comparing March of this year to the average in March going back to 2015. Brad Pierce is an academic program director at the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center and an expert on forecasting global air quality. Brad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob.
Well, can you talk about what you are looking at when it comes to air pollution, specifically this nitrogen dioxide during this time where we're driving a lot less?
Yeah, so you talked a little bit about the NASA reporting on the reductions in nitrogen dioxide. They're using an instrument that has been in orbit for quite a while, so they're able to look at how different it is compared to a long-term record. I'm looking at some data from a fairly new instrument that was launched by the European Space Agency in 2018, and it's a higher resolution instrument. It's able to dwell down and look more closely at urban areas. So we're taking a closer look at that in the Midwest area.
Before we dig into the trends here, what is nitrogen dioxide? Why do we worry about how much of it is in our local airways?
So nitrogen dioxide is a pollutant in and of itself, and it has adverse health impacts. But generally what we're concerned about nitrogen dioxide for is because it's one of those pollutants that is emitted from cars and power plants and factories that can lead to both ozone production and lead to high ozone levels, and also to forming nitrate aerosols, which are one of the aerosol pollutants that we see in the Midwest in particular.
And these are things that can have health impacts for us here on the ground?
Right. So ozone and aerosols, the small particulates, definitely have health impacts, and that's why the EPA regulates the levels of those.
Now, here we are. We're driving, as I said, a lot less. What are we seeing here in the U.S. In this instrument you're looking from when it comes to our nitrogen dioxide levels?
So we've kind of just begun looking at the data. Again, it hasn't been up for a long time. So what we're doing is we're comparing last March and April 2019 to 2020, the period when the Safer at Home policies began to be implemented. And we're seeing a fairly complicated picture. In large parts of the country, there's reductions, but in some parts, and even by some urban centers, we're seeing actual increases in the amount of NO2 in the column. And so we have to take into account not just changes in the emissions because of reductions in automobile traffic, but we also have to take into account differences in the meteorology, just how the wind was blowing between last year and this year. So we're trying to tease out those two different processes so we can get a better understanding of what the impact was with regard to changes in emissions.
We're talking to Brad Pierce from the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center, looking at air pollution during a time of safer at home orders and how we're trying to figure out the sources of air pollution, what is changing as we're driving less. Brad, this is in effect an unplanned experiment for people in your line of work. What kind of lessons are you hoping we can learn from this as you try to, as you say, digest that data?
So one of the big uncertainties in understanding the emissions of these pollutants is, what's the relative importance of different sectors in those emissions? So what is the contribution from automobiles? What's the contribution from heavy-duty trucks? What's the contribution due to more distributed sources and industry? And so here we have a really good understanding of what the reduction in automobile miles is, and from that we can infer what sort of change we would expect given our current understanding of the emission inventory. And then we can compare that with the satellite data to see if our current understanding is right. So once we have that, then we're able to improve our emission estimates so that we know better what fraction is associated with this automobile traffic.
It sounds complicated because for especially the industrial side of this, some factories are closed, some are essential, and they're open. Are you going to have to kind of drill down into that economic data to see what's still running and what's not as you try to match it up to what's in the satellite?
So what we're doing right now is we're trying to put together a rapid response proposal to NASA. And at least for this phase, we're going to focus on the automobile component of those emissions. And that's because we're collaborating with a professor on campus, Song Gao, who's in the geography department, who has very detailed data on a county level about changes in automobile miles traveled based on cell phone data. So for this study, we think we have a good idea about automobile miles. We know how much they've been reduced, and we can at least understand whether our understanding of the fraction of the total emissions that's due to cars is correct.
What do we know about longer-term trends when it comes to the pollution that we're talking about, the nitrogen dioxide?
Yeah, so longer-term trends are that that the nitrogen dioxide pollutants have been going down significantly over the last decade or so. And so that's what makes some of the comparisons to a longer-term climatology a little difficult to interpret, because there is, you know, there's reductions that have nothing to do with the current pandemic that just have to do with improved emission controls over the last decade or so.
Interesting. And then from year to year, I imagine for what you're saying about weather patterns, it must vary in different, I don't know, cities, counties, things like that, just based on, in effect, which way the wind's blowing?
Exactly. And that's the part that I'm actually working on trying to tease out right now. So compare how the transport of these pollutants was in 2019 compared to 2020. I actually have a model that predicts the distribution of global NO2, but I use the same emission inventories for both years. So any differences that I see in that model, I can attribute just to changes in the direction that the wind's blowing.
With these kind of pollutants, do we tend to suffer the impact of them, you know, where the traffic is most intense, say where the most emissions are, or is it the people who live downwind of those who end up seeing most of the actual pollution settling?
So the actual NO2 concentrations are definitely highest right near the sources. And in fact, the Wisconsin DNR, who is another agency that's collaborating on this work, has near road monitors that we're using to also track the change due to the pandemic. So NO2 is highest right near the roadside. But again, the pollutants that we're concerned most about are ozone and aerosols, and those are formed downwind from those pollutant sources. And so, in fact, you can often see higher pollution concentrations away from the source regions. And that's something in particular that happens along the western shore of Lake Michigan in Wisconsin.
As we wrap up, Brad, what's the timeline for your project in this unusual learning opportunity?
Well, I'm working with my partners now. We're putting the pieces together. I hope to get a proposal out to NASA in the next couple weeks. And because this is a rapid proposal request, it's 1 year of funding. So we would hope to have some firm ideas about what is going on this year by July of next year sometime.
Brad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
That's Brad Pierce, director of the Space Science and Engineering Center at UW-Madison. We talked to him today about a project he's working on to measure the impact of reduced auto travel on air quality in the Midwest. I'm sorry, the academic program director of the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center.